I want to first of all say welcome to the month of June, and let's give the Lord a big hand for getting us here safely into another month. We always thank him for just his continuous provision and his continuous protection of us as we move through our days. So let's give him a hand for bringing us into the month of June. I also want to say thank you to Elder Bobby and to Dina for last week's service. I want to thank you for the message, Brother Bobby, Elder Bobby. I also want to thank you for your perseverance and for your grace under trial. I just hope that I'm able to emulate that same grace this morning. And Dina, you did a fantastic job just inspiring us with your prayer and informing us about the goings on in the church. Okay. After this morning's message, we will be blessed by Ronnie and Solomon, who will be sharing with us, Barnes, who will be sharing with us a worship offering, and that is always a treat, and so you want to stay tuned after this morning's message. All right, let me take a deep breath. The unrest that's taking place all over the country, really all over the world, it's an invitation, no, it's a demand for dialogue about racism and social justice. And it's a dialogue that is being invited through many different doors. There is the healthcare door, the disparities in healthcare, the economics door, the history door, the criminal justice system door, the politics door, and probably many other doors. Last night I was watching a special that was hosted by Judy Woodruff of PBS, and it was on the whole racial, national distress and unrest, and it was difficult to watch. But it was so well done, I didn't want it to end. One of the unique perspectives was from filmmaker Ava DuVernay, and she spoke about how the visual, as a filmmaker, the visual of George Floyd's death, with both the officer and Mr. Floyd looking towards the lens, she said it was so gripping and so painful for her, and it was a unique perspective for her as a filmmaker, even though it was not a movie. It was a tragic event unfolding. Racism and social justice. As I said, it's a subject that has many rooms, and all those rooms are necessary. We need to have dialogue in all of those different areas. We all have so much to learn. And nobody is an expert on every room. So we need many voices. Today, I'm going to speak to you from my room, which is spiritual, to offer a spiritual perspective on what is going on. I have some things I want to say. I have some things I want to share with you this morning, some important things. And I'm not going to be particularly concerned about the format. Okay, so that's just a heads up for those of you who are note takers and are used to me giving point one, point two, point three, which I love to do, but today is different. So I'm not going to be chained to the format. I'm going to give you the title of the message, I'm going to give you the text, and I'm going to give you the main idea. But from there, I won't be identifying my points quite clearly, quite as distinctly as usual. So the title of today's message is Don't Leave Jesus in the Building. Don't leave Jesus in the building. And our text is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Just that one verse. Colossians 3, 17. I'll give you a moment to turn there. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. And it reads, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, if you protest, if you pray, if you preach, if you run for office, if you donate money, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. A related text is 1 Corinthians 10:31. 1 Corinthians 10:31, which says, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God." That's our text. And here's the main idea that I'd like for you to hold on to, even though we're going to explore a lot of different places. Here's the main idea. If you are a believer, if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, actually it's just if you are a believer, I'm adding these other adjectives, but if you are a believer and if you know Jesus as your Savior, if he is the Lord of your life, if you love him and are growing to love him, if he is the center of your life, so back to this, if you are a believer, always take the name of Jesus with you. If you are a believer, always take the name of Jesus with you. I've been seeing an ad circulating on social media sites for a number of days, weeks, months, and it's a t-shirt that says, "The church has left the building." And I have something to say about this shirt. Every time I see it, I stop and I ponder it. I study it for a few moments, and I finally figured out what I want to say about this shirt. I understand the thought. The thought is that ministry of the church should extend beyond the walls of the church. I get that, and I agree with that. The church leaving the building is great. The church leaving the building is biblical. The church leaving the building is very necessary in these times. And it is a wonderful thing so long as the church doesn't leave Jesus in the building when it leaves. It's fantastic for the church to leave the building so long as it doesn't leave Jesus in the building when it leaves. So if you're a believer, always take the name of Jesus with you. See, here's what I see. Too often, when the church addresses social issues, when it gets into the fray of titanic battles such as this, when it leaves the building and it begins to address social issues, it addresses them in a secular way. And our salt, the salt of our Savior, the salt that seasons the world with Jesus, loses its savor. What happens is the message of Christ morphs into a general message of moral duty or justice or equality. Now, those messages are important too. Those messages are critical. They're part of our civic duty. It's why we vote. But we as believers need to remember we are the church of Jesus Christ. And the purpose of the church of Jesus Christ is not just to do good things, but to promote Jesus Christ. We are, after all, his ambassadors. And we can do both. We can do both. But many times what happens is we do the good things, but we leave Jesus in the building. He disappears in our message. Whatever you do, church, Colossians tells us, and 1 Corinthians 10 tells us, whatever you do, church, whether in word or deed, do it all. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you are a believer, always take the name of Jesus with you. Our challenge, Here's how I frame our challenge. Our challenge in these times as believers is to connect the social issues in a real and relevant way to the promise of new life in Christ. And that means new life spiritually, and it means new life practically. Again, we are His ambassadors. We're here to promote and proclaim life in Him. Now, what this doesn't mean, what this doesn't mean when I say take the name of Jesus with you, it doesn't necessarily mean standing on a soapbox and preaching to the crowd during the protests. It might mean that, but that's not what I'm talking about. It doesn't necessarily mean, I know it doesn't mean trying to shoehorn Jesus, shoehorn His name into every conversation we have, no matter how awkward or no matter how forced. It doesn't mean shoehorning Jesus' name into every conversation we have. What it does mean, it means remembering that our top priority as believers is to promote Jesus and then staying engaged with Him in order to be receptive and responsive to His promptings of us in the moment. There is no formula. There is a relationship. We are connected with Him. We are in a partnership with Him. And so our job is to stay connected with Him and to be receptive and responsive to His promptings in the moment. Peter put it this way. 1 Peter 3:15 for your notes. Peter put it this way. But in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. In your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. I really like that. It says, set apart Christ in your heart and always be ready to give an answer to everybody who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. So what might this look like? It may mean talking to the person next to you about Jesus. It may mean that. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it all. I mean, many times it does for many people. It may mean inviting him or her to church. It may mean praying for the person that the Lord would make himself known to them. It may mean biting our tongue and saying nothing but just listening. In Jesus' name. It may mean 100 things. It may mean 1,000 things. Really, the important thing is not the thing we do. Because God can use anything. The important thing is not the thing we do. It's the name that we attach to whatever we do. Do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name attached to what we're doing. It's our focus. As we are doing, it's our prayers as we are doing, it is our desire as we are doing that Jesus would be promoted, that Jesus would be injected into the situation, that Jesus would be infused in the situation. That's what it means, do it in the name of Jesus, that Jesus would be glorified through me in this situation, whatever it is I am doing. And that starts in the heart first. As Peter says, in your heart, set apart Christ. That's where it starts. And if we're doing that, if we're setting him apart in our hearts, as we go about our days, when we wake up in the morning, when we're thinking about what our mission is in life, when we're going about our jobs, when we're dealing with our families, when we're dealing with neighbors, when we're dealing with a pandemic, when we're dealing with racial unrest and an uprising, if we're setting apart Christ in our hearts first, and trusting him to help us to be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. He can direct us and he can position us and he can utilize us to accomplish his purposes. More on that in a moment. As one example of how we can take the name of Jesus with us when we address racism. Some of you already read this. I posted it on social media, posted it on Facebook. I did not send it in the newsletter, and For those of you who are not on Facebook, you did not see this yet, but some of you saw it, most of you have not. It's a piece that I wrote last week, and I posted it, as I said, on Facebook. And this is what it says, and I began with Galatians chapter 3, verses 27 through 28, an incredibly powerful verse for these times. And this is what it says. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I call this piece, based on this verse, racism from a Christ-centered perspective. And this is what I said. You are all one in Christ. This is a spiritual, heavenly, eternal fact. You are all one in Christ. It is a spiritual, heavenly, eternal fact. It's not just a polite way of thinking. It's not just the loving attitude to have. It's not an appeal we make to others. It is the way God sees us. You are all one in Christ. It is the way God cares for each of us in Christ. It is our eternal, immutable status in Christ. It is who we are. Therefore, it is the way we must learn to see ourselves and the way we must carry ourselves. Side glances from others do not change who we are. Suspicion when we walk in a store doesn't change who we are. Calling the police on us does not change who we are. Harassment by the police does not change who we are. Nothing anyone says, nothing anyone does, nothing anyone thinks changes our status. It's not granted to us by others, so it can't be taken away by others. We rightly petition and we rightly protest to be treated equally. It is our civic duty, but let us begin by realizing we are equal. It's not a manner of speaking. We are equal and beyond equal. We are one in Christ. Whether anyone accepts it or not, we do not need the validation of others to make it true. Christ's blood has made it true. When we believe this, when we believe God loves us and accepts us freely and fully and without a hint of disdain or partiality, we live powerfully. We live confidently. We live lovingly. We live a Christ-centered life. We are one in Christ. It is a spiritual fact. And for any Christian, white, black, brown, yellow, green, whatever, for any Christian to think otherwise of any other believer, whether that believer is black, white, brown, yellow, or green, for any other believer to think, or for any Christian to think otherwise of any other believer, it's not racism. It's not sexism or any other ism. No, it's worse than that. It is a different gospel, which means it's heresy. So I posted that. It came from the heart. It was a blessing the Lord gave me to think about things in a clearer way. And I got a question from a friend of mine. She asked, how do we convince? She said, that's so true. How do we convince the world of this? And you know what the answer to that question is? We, as believers, first have to be convinced of it ourselves. The church needs to demonstrate this church. I mean the universal church of Jesus Christ. See, here's the deal. The heart of the gospel that Jesus has sent us out into the world to proclaim. There are three major components, and they line up in this order of priority. The heart of the gospel is faith in Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will be born again. You will become a new creature. That's point one. The heart of the gospel is faith in Christ. The second is love for the brethren. Jesus said, love one another. A new commandment I give you. Love one another. All over the scriptures, all over the New Testament, rather. This is the priority. Love one another. Paul said, do good to all men, but especially to the household of the faith. Jesus said, all men will know you're my disciples if you love one another. So the second priority is the love of the brethren. And then the third one is love for the world. Love for the world. We don't have our ducks in order. We're racing out trying to change the world, and we don't really know how to love each other. We're not committed to loving one another. Let me explain what I mean by that. What we do is we jump to fixing the hate in the world and ignore the unlove that is running rampant in the church. It's not right. It's not in order. We got to get our act together first. Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Now, I'm going to get into some stuff here that you don't usually hear me get into, but I'm getting into it now. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said this past week, Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick said this past week that the real way for Americans to address racism is to accept Jesus Christ. Saying he said that we need a culture change, and it requires a character change, which requires a change of heart, he said, which requires one turns to God. He said, you cannot love your fellow man if you don't love God. That's what Patrick said. And we have a country where we've been working really hard, particularly on the left, to kick God out. Now, let me tell you what I think about that. All of that sounds great. And all of that is true. All of it's true. And even the last line here, we have a country where we've been working really hard, particularly on the left, to kick God out. What Dan Patrick said here is absolutely true. A culture change. We need to be in. Let me tell you, yes, not to just separate as being, but here's what Mr. Patrick said, that the problem is that they believe God only lets certain types of people in, or God loves certain types of people better, or he favors certain types of people better. The love that our brother, Mr. Patrick here, has in mind is far more restrictive than what I see in the gospel. See, the message of Jesus Christ is soiled against a backdrop of exclusion and greed and selfishness. And that is the tone of our country right now. And that is why our country is dry brush, burning in the heat of dissension and faction. What makes the message of Christ real is exactly what Jesus said. He wasn't speaking off the top of his head when he said, love one another, and the world will know you are my disciples. Love in Jesus' name. Love with Jesus brand love, not a worldly knockoff. Love with a love that highlights our oneness in him. See, I want my brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's the message we should be marching with. I want my brothers and sisters in Christ to be treated fairly because we are one in him. What if all the churches in the country banded under the banner of Jesus Christ, like it says here, whatever you do, do it in the name of Jesus. And we were bonded together, and this was a oneness issue. This was we are brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm not just being polite to my brother. We are connected. We are one. We are members of one another. What is happening to him when one part of the body suffers, I'm suffering too. This is about the name of Jesus and our oneness in him. What if we were marching in that way? as believers in the name of Jesus and for the love of the brethren. See, Christians are asking today what to do. All of us are ramped up and all of us want to be active and all of us want to make a difference and all of us want to see things change. Those of us who are of goodwill, those of us who are of good heart, black, white, yellow, green, red and yellow, black and white, all of us together who are of goodwill want to see things different. They're asking what to do. Here's what I say. Let us not forget that we don't have to figure out what to do. You know why? Because God has a master plan. You see, above all of this, Isaiah 14 says, as surely as I have planned, it has happened, and as I have purposed, so it will stand. So even though it looks like chaos is reigning from a spiritual standpoint, now I'm speaking spiritually, I'm speaking as a pastor, I'm speaking as a man of God who believes that God is in control, who believes that there is a God who understands and sees what's happening on the planet, and according to Ephesians, is bringing all things, summing up everything in Christ and working everything, it says in Ephesians 1, after the counsel of his will. That tells me there is a master plan, and the evil one is definitely afoot. The stuff that's happening in our country, this tumultuousness, this is not of God, but God is using it for his purposes, because nothing can thwart the purposes of God. The evil one should have figured that out when he rallied this mob to crucify Jesus. He should have had it figured out then that, you know what, I got God trumped now, no pun intended. I've got God checkmated now. And therefore, you know, this thing is over. And what he wound up doing is unleashing a power the world has never seen before, called the church. And Lord, help the church to get its act together, because when we do, there will be no stopping us. But this is where it starts, our love for one another. Christians are asking what to do. Let's not forget that God has the master plan. Remember what it says in Ephesians 2? It says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God prepared beforehand for us to do. Do you know, you are part of God's team. God has the plan, and he has called each one of us to partner with him, and he wants to insert us as necessary in the places where we are needed. So this verse in Ephesians 2 applies today. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, which to do good works in this environment, in a pandemic, in national unrest about racism. You are still God's workmanship, and he has plans for you in this. He created and he designed you for his purposes. He lives inside of each one of us. He lives inside of you. He's a person. He loves you. He knows you. You want to know what to do? Talk to him. Lord, glorify yourself in this moment. And you know what? And say that every moment. Sanctify Christ in your heart, always being ready. Lord, I'm setting you apart. Show me how you want to glorify yourself through me in this moment. And the next moment, and the next moment. He may do something. He may do something dramatic and surprising. He may not. He may do nothing. You may feel like you're accomplishing nothing. But that's up to him, brothers and sisters. How he uses us is up to him. What is up to us is to keep our faith focused on him. Now, this doesn't mean that we don't do anything. We sit back. Whatever your inclination is, do that thing. But don't rest all of your faith and trust in the thing you're doing. Rest your faith in him and trust him to be able to move and navigate you in such a way that you are taking his name and proclaiming his name and glorifying him as you go about whatever it is that you are doing. I like what John 6:29, my birthday is coming up on June 29th. And John 6:29, which is my birthday verse, says this. They said, what must we do to do the works of God? And Jesus said, this is the work of God. You want to know what God wants you to do? This is the work of God. Believe in the one whom he has sent. You trust me. I know what's going on in this world, and I created you to be a part of it. I wrote this piece on Just a Moment for this past Friday. And it's Jesus said to Peter in John 21, 22. Jesus said to Peter, if I want John to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And that's such a powerful and liberating statement from Jesus. It speaks to the value the Lord places on each one of us. Yes, it's a gentle reprimand of Peter for comparing his mission to John's, but it was also a correction intended to bless Peter with a reminder of Peter's own unique gifts and purposes. In these difficult times of collective action, I wrote, it's wise for us, as we're thinking about how to band together and make a difference, it's also wise for us to spend personal time with the Lord, listening for his instruction for each of us individually. Because the Lord has chosen you, brother. The Lord has chosen you, sister, specifically to be alive at this time in history and to be a part of his team and his plans in this dynamic time of challenge and change. So what to do? It goes back to clinging to him and looking to him, being receptive and responsive to him, seeking to set apart Christ in our hearts and taking the name of Jesus with us wherever we go, not leaving him in the building, trying to figure out, Lord, how do you want to be glorified in this situation? Stay engaged with him. Who knows what the Lord will inspire you to do? Says my brother, who is who's also a pastor, he's down in Louisiana, as I think he preached last week, you know, that sometimes we need to follow the cloud and not the crowd. You know, he's a Baptist preacher, and so he loves poetry. And so he follow the cloud and not the crowd. And sometimes that's what we need to do. Follow the cloud and not the crowd. See, Jesus knows how to do this. You know that? This idea of integrating our message and not leaving Jesus in the building. Integrating our message with our action so that Jesus is exalted and that he doesn't disappear in our rhetoric. You know what I'm talking about. When we get out there and we start talking, it's this justice and righteousness, justice and equality and things of that nature. People who do not know Jesus can say those words. But you know what they can't say? They can't say, Jesus changed my life. They can't say, Jesus' love overflows within me for this white brother, or this black brother, or this white sister, or this Hispanic or Asian brother or sister, or this Middle Eastern brother or sister. They can't say that. It is the love of Christ that will win this world to Christ. And the sooner we understand this, the better we will be. Jesus knows how to do this. He knows how to integrate the message of the kingdom with social issues. He did it. You look through the Gospels and we see how he addressed the felt needs of the people. He fed the hungry. He healed the sick. He drew near to the outcast. He talked to sinners. He ate with people who were on fringe and who were disenfranchised. He was immersed in humanity at its weakest. But he never lost sight of his mission, brothers and sisters. You knew when you were around Jesus that it was about the kingdom of God, and whatever else he was doing, it was about his Father. We need to be that way. We need to be that way. He did it all in the name of the Father, that the Father might be glorified. Stay engaged with him. He can do this. Lord, teach us to do the same. And he can. But it's through our relationship with him. It's not through some scheme of man. It's not through some magic formula or you listen to people talking about what to do, and there are 100 different things to do. But Jesus knows how to do what needs to be done, and he wants to do it through us. And so we already have the answer. The answer is Jesus. Stay connected. Stay engaged. Ask him to help us to know how to take the name of Jesus with us everywhere we go and in whatever it is that we want to do. I want to share with you what I wrote in the view from my place, and I'm winding down here. This is in your virtual bulletin on the front page of our website, and it's also under Pastor's Corner and Pastor's Blog on our website. I said, sometimes I feel like I'm just losing it. My desire, my focus, my energy, my hope, my edge, my skills, my passion, my perseverance. I'm discouraged. I'm frustrated. I'm perplexed. I'm overwhelmed. Whether it's a deadly virus that we're dealing with and how to cope with it, whether it's a stressful work environment, whether it's a stubborn family issue, whether it's a financial challenge or another wave of race-related national distress, the issues of life seem overwhelming. The road seems endless, and I feel like I'm running on fumes. But through all of these uncomfortable feelings, I'm learning. I never have to worry about how much is in my tank. I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to sustain my effort going forward. I don't have to worry about losing it. Why? Because the Lord laid this on my heart, this truth. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. His understanding no man can fathom. He gives strength to the weary. And to him who lacks might, feels like he's going to lose it, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Thank you, Jesus. Everything I lack, he possesses in infinite supply. From the Lord's perspective, I wasn't created. I wasn't designed to be self-fueled or self-propelled. I was designed to wait for the Lord. That is, to be prayerfully engaged and to receive with thankfulness the grace that he provides for the present moment without worrying about my needs for the next. Because he will be with me in that next moment too. And the moment after that, and the moment after that, and the moment after that, he is an ever-present help. And unlike us, the moment is never too big for him. Hallelujah. You know, in the words of Roman African playwright Terence, he said, I'm a man. I consider nothing that is human alien to me. I felt all those things. I have felt all those things that I mentioned at the beginning of that piece. And I don't want to be numb to any of the human experience because God uses all of it to help me to know him better. He uses all of it to help my love for you grow. According to the Apostle Paul, it's through suffering that we get to know the God of comfort. And it's because of difficulty that we learn to rely upon him, both of which makes our relationship with him more precious to us. Faith, brothers and sisters, and I am a man of faith, and we've been talking about trust in our Bible study, but faith doesn't make us immune to human emotions. I've suffered through all of this just as you have. I've struggled emotionally just as you have. But with all of this, let us remember this. All of our emotions, all of them, can be constructive building blocks to a more secure and intimate relationship with the Lord as we trust him. The Lord is faithful to give us what we need moment by moment. The Lord is faithful to show us what to do moment by moment. We don't need to worry about what we will need going forward. We aren't there yet. The Israelites didn't need the Red Sea to part the day before. They needed it to part when it parted. What you need for the moment of need, God will provide in that moment of need. Not only did the Lord let me know that he would provide what I needed when I was feeling all those things, he then gave me that piece that I read about racism. He gave me a perspective that I needed. And it actually turned out to be a blessing for quite a few other people. So let me conclude with this. You know, it must have been a real challenge for Jesus. He brought the message of the kingdom of God into what was his day, what was in his day, a violently divided country. And he spoke about the kingdom of God when raging around him were politics that were tearing the world apart. And I'm certain that he felt the tug of the crowd, just as we will, brothers and sisters, to address the real issue, which is the real issue of Roman oppression and occupation. That's the real issue. We got to keep our eyes on the ball. You know what the real issue is for us? Love for one another. That's the real issue for us. Because if we can get that together, then we will be able to move forward as a mighty force of God to deal with whatever obstacles are ahead of us and whatever problems prevent us from being able to do that. And the world will see it. They will see how we are with one another and will take note, and Jesus will be glorified. So I'm sure that Jesus felt that real tug of, tell us, Lord, how to fix this problem here in Rome. Don't you know we are occupied? Tell us how to get rid of these Roman scoundrels. Jesus never spoke a word against Rome. He addressed the felt needs, but he didn't leave the message in the building. He didn't leave the message in the building. And like him, whatever we do in word or deed, let us do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't leave the name of Jesus in the building. Now, some of you may be thinking that you've heard me today share something different. Boy, Pastor really went out there today. You might think you heard me say something different. And some of you may be cheering and some of you may be fearing. But I haven't said anything different. It's the same thing I've been saying week after week after week after week after week. Look at the strategic faith objectives. It's about knowing the Lord better. It's about loving each other more. And it's about God using us to accomplish his purposes through his unique design of each one of us. So I haven't been saying anything different. It's not new. It's just being applied to the present situation. Don't leave Jesus in the building. Take the name of Jesus with you wherever you go. I love you. Let's pray for one another. God bless you. If you have any questions about this, please email me, leave a comment on the sermons page under Pastor's blog on our website. Call me up on the phone. I would love to talk to you about anything that caused a question to rise in your mind or caused some disquiet in your spirit. We are all in this thing together. I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Stay tuned for Ronnie and Solomon giving us a tremendous worship blessing. Let's take a moment and pray, and then we'll be done. Father, I want to thank you for my brothers and sisters who are watching. Thank you, Lord, for how you want to use every event in our lives, Lord, to create greater intimacy with you, to deepen our love for one another, and Lord, to activate our work, our individual work through your spirit as you use us as partners in your amazing plan. Lord, what's going on in the world today as our brother Jonathan Butler led us off in song, oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Lord, I praise you for what you are doing above the chaos. I don't know what it is. I just know, Lord, that you are positioning our world in a way to accomplish your further purposes. And I ask that you give us all peace of heart and faith in you and hope in spirit as we move forward through these days. Lord, whatever you've called us to do, Let us take the name of Jesus with us and let us stay connected with you and ask you to help us to figure out a way by your wisdom, not our own, how to make you glorified in these days. We bless you. We love you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.